And it's so funny right at the end of that meeting between Jim. Who else was in the meeting? Jim, Ryan, Howard, and Daryl. And
Daryl.
He's like, oh, by the way, we're going to need to get the rights to Darth Vader. Answer's probably somewhere in the middle, as it often is.
Yeah.
All right, bud. Bring us in? Yep. Alrighty, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Podcast and Chill, a podcast where we chill. Week 10 edition, NFL Guess the Lines. Jack Duffy joined me on the other line. What's up, buddy?
We've officially hit double digits. It's crazy. Once again, we your Eagles still not stopping. I don't know why we ever thought the Broncos... Well, I thought the Broncos would be a good idea, but overall, I mean, Sunday was pretty shitty game-wise. Pretty boring games outside of... I guess Cowboys was okay, but kind of a boring week in the NFL. We had a lot of teams on bye, so...
Yeah, can't stop, won't stop with the Eagles.
Let's just keep on keeping on. Hopefully a positive week. It's been too long. 2 weeks since I've had a positive week, so need to bounce back for sure.
Fly, Eagles, fly, my friend. All right, so I saw the Barstool Instagram account today put up a guy who got Eagles Super Bowl champs, and we're not going to get back on Barstool. I just want to say I saw somebody get the Eagles Super Bowl champs 2018 through 2020. It's like one of the most inexplicable tattoos. So I think what is the right thing to do is just cancel the season. The Eagles season is over. So I didn't like it. I didn't want to. I don't like stuff. I don't like playing with karma and the gods like that. That's not good.
Yeah,
that's the biggest jinx ever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's ballsy. Maybe it's a temporary tattoo. I don't know who in the right mind would ever get that permanently.
That's
but,
real. It's real. The guy's arm. You can tell because you have a picture of the guy's arm and it's shaved and it's all red and all. That shit's real. That's a real tattoo. Boy. So
yeah. Quick comment, guys. Really like the Hornets jerseys with these Jordan logos. That's nothing to do with NFL, but just I really enjoy the just looks really sick.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's get on to. Another week in the NFL. Looks like we got four teams on bye this week.
Four teams on bye. KC, Oakland, Philly, and Baltimore. Your Ravens.
Not the Ravens. Damn it. Who am I going to bet against now? Even though I lost, but should have won. That was garbage time. I mean, Joe Flacco is just so bad. I don't know. You probably didn't watch any, but just his passes, you just know when they're getting intercepted. He just tosses them up there. He's been, I would say, bottom 10 quarterback for the past 3 years.
God, somehow we talk about Joe Flacco every podcast.
Well, because you say my Ravens, and I get personally offended, and then I have to go rant against them. But yeah, it was like I said, the games kind of sucked this week. Quick tangent: the whole salute to service thing was pretty cheesy and pretty hypocritical by the NFL. I thought
you think so?
Pretty obvious grab as far as we got to push this out there to get our fans that somehow politicize the military.
Well, don't you think that, they usually do things like this around...
Yeah, but they've never done this before.
I don't think I've ever seen this before either, and...
It's clearly obvious. I think it's a pretty big sham, and, I mean, we already know the history of the Department of Defense actually paying the NFL to be involved, to make football involved with the military, to politicize the sport, even though military, I don't think, should really be part of politics. It's just a given. No one actually hates the military, so... Just something uncomfortable. That's a pretty big hypocrisy, but we'll get on to the fun betting part. And let's start with, what do we got? Cardinals? Ugh. All right, Drew Stanton at home.
The Drew Stanton Bowl. All right, so I do want to say, just for the record, Podcast and Chill, very, big military supporters here.
Well, I didn't say that. I'm just saying it's nothing to do with the military. I'm saying it's the NFL.
I know.
Just being hypocritical.
I just wanted to be out there just because.
That's the biggest thing. Why would anyone, since when has it been a thing someone has to come out and say they support the military? I feel like it's one of the most given things I've ever, it's just not, I feel like it doesn't need to be something that's come out and said. I'm all for, the retweet thing was cool, but it was just such a contradiction after, we can't have these type of things in our game, but we're going to make it all about the troops. We can't make it all about people getting killed, unrightfully in the streets, but whatever.
Here's what I'll say is that about the salute to service, anytime I can merely click a few buttons on my phone and the NFL will lose money and give it to the military, I'm in. It's good.
Are they losing money, though? Is you sure it's not a tax write-off?
You never know.
Not,
it could
not
be.
God,
you're so cynical. You are so cynical.
It's pretty ridiculous, but maybe they could have donated any money to, I don't know, any of the other charities, but no, we're just going to donate to entity we spend trillions of dollars on a year. Anyhow, well, that's enough for today. Come back to Political Corner tomorrow after Election Day. Whatever elections are going on, I have no clue. But all right, Seahawks, Cardinals. I had 5.5. What'd you have?
6.
It was 6.5. This game's going to suck. The Seahawks are back to looking terrible. I mean, they really didn't look great against the Texans anyways. But Cardinals with the big win at 49ers, I would say... Why in the world would I bet on the Cardinals? And as far as Joe Public's been kicking ass the past couple of weeks, I think favorites the last couple of weeks are in that 70% or something like that. So I home dog here, but on a Thursday, on a short week, and the Cardinals defense does step up at home, so that's something to think about. But am I putting money on Drew Stanton?
Yeah, I doubt it. I mean, they beat the Niners last week. I mean, take that for what you want. It's not good. I don't really. I mean, I guess this is sort of like the boxes that we like to check off on some of these Thursday games where, okay, division opponent, home dog, and those are the spots. And usually these games are a little bit lower scoring, so the dog is a little bit more important and the points, each point is a little more important. Having said that, the Cardinals stink. Seattle's kind of good, even though they lost to Washington last week. So I mean, what do we do? Do we abandon our conventional wisdom?
That's probably just stay away, honestly. I mean, I'll probably take the under, but these games are such a crapshoot on Thursday night. As we saw last week, though, the Bills were the big favorite. Everyone's been the Bills, and as I said on this podcast, as a Bills fan, the Bills were automatically going to lose, and lo and behold, they did. But I don't have a good of a read on the Cardinals because, again, Drew Stanton, who's no Josh McCown, let's just say that.
Speaking of the Bills, Bills hosting the New Orleans Saints, and we said this last week, it's time to start fading the Bills. And this is a sort of a perfect cocktail here with a team that I like, the Saints, against a team that I'm about ready to start fading, the Bills. I had the Saints by 7 on the road.
First of all, that's nuts. Second of all, it's very disrespectful. Third, I've not been this excited for a Bills game in a while because I actually think they're going to win outright because I think the Saints on the road are a whole different team. Drew, it's going to be a cold one in Buffalo on Sunday. Just keep that in mind. We got old-ass Drew Brees coming into town.
Okay.
We got Calvin Benjamin, fat-ass tight end playing wide receiver. We're going to get some points. But the Bills play a lot better at home. I had Bills actually by 1.5. I'm actually 2.5-point dog. So you are far off. And
so
really
you still get that.
So I'll already let you know. It's already locked in. I have Bills moneyline ready to rock. So just go ahead and lock that in.
So I think I saw this right with the Eagles here on teams that have outperformed on the spread this year. The Bills obviously being one of them. The Eagles the biggest one. And the Saints too. And it's about time that Vegas starts really jacking up these Saints lines, especially how well they're scoring recently.
Yeah, that's the one thing last week. It was ridiculous. Just all these big lines were just getting, you know, demolished. They weren't even close. That's not how usually it works. So I don't know. It was just there's a lot of more bad teams in the NFL this year. As we talked about, I believe in the beginning we said there's going to be a lot of upper echelon, like teams with really good records and teams with really bad records or just really bad and really good teams. So that may be more blowouts because I never remember seeing that many blowouts just one afternoon. I mean, 4 or 5 30-point games. It was unreal. But again, I like my Bills here. It's biased. I usually, but as you've seen, I'm not really a biased fan. I just really like them in this situation. Coming off a tough loss, they got 10, 11 days rest against an old Drew Brees out in the cold, not in their dome. So something I'm intrigued in. You know, the Saints, I don't know what the hell the Bucs problem is, but they, you know, the Bears, they didn't totally dominate them. And if you just look at their wins on the road this year, they have two wins at Panthers, which is impressive. I don't really know what the Panthers, and then at Packers with Brett Hundley. So it hasn't really shown that they've been actually a great team on the road. So in this spot, I think the Bills are the play here. So you get the points, you get the home team, and you get the team that's used to playing in tougher conditions.
Where do you think the money's going to be on this? It's the Saints, right?
Saints.
Yeah.
I actually think it'll be closer than some other games, but right now it looks like, as far as the spread, looks like most majority people are on the Saints, but I wouldn't be surprised. You know, when you have two teams that I think are, you know, the Saints are probably better on neutral field than the dome, but two teams that aren't necessarily that far off from each other, and you get the home team in cold conditions that are, you know, acclimated to playing in those conditions, and you get the points, I think it's just the smarter play. And I think there'll probably be some sharp money on the Bills just because of the value.
All right, Green Bay at Chicago. We just saw Green Bay absolutely lay an egg against Detroit yesterday, and I actually was listening to Colin Cowherd this morning, and for some just godforsaken reason.
Why? Good God.
And he made this point about how bad – I mean, this is sort of an easy take to have, how bad the Packers are without Aaron Rodgers, blah, blah, blah. That Aaron Rodgers is in an abusive relationship and he gets taken advantage of for them
I mean, Mike McCarthy's a bad coach. That's – like, I've been on that train for a while.
So this line really confused me. I mean, so – Chicago's not good, but Green Bay is probably in the same realm as Chicago talent-wise with no Aaron Rodgers, or at least close.
I would say the Bears have actual really good defense, and they have a better quarterback.
Well, that's very possible, and they're coming off a bye. Is it weird to have Chicago favored in this game? No, right? I have Chicago by 3.
Yeah, I did too, and I actually, this was before Monday night game. I probably would have bumped it up. It's actually 5, so we tie on that one. This is one of that game yesterday is one of those things where like the Lions line looks so easy and you're like, oh, we've fall for this too many times, but then they just obliterate and we're like, God damn it, why didn't you just trust what I thought? But I mean, Brent Hundley, it's just such a joke. Yeah, he knows the system. He can't throw a pass more than 4 yards. Meanwhile, Kaepernick's sitting on the side. I mean, it's just so obvious at this point. But it's just Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, two quarterbacks that just have terrible teams, and I think that roster is worse than the Colts roster at this point. Well, maybe not 2 years ago, but this year I think it's worse.
That's a great comparison because those are two guys in Rodgers and Luck that are really the bedrock of their teams, and take them out and it's gigantic.
And the coaches are god awful.
Yeah,
like I think Pagano's a whole tier worse than McCarthy, but McCarthy's not good. You have Aaron Rodgers and you're in one Super Bowl. That's insane. That's like such a disappointment when you have the greatest quarterback I've ever seen, not greatest accomplished, but the best quarterback I've ever seen. You have one Super Bowl. It's nuts.
Totally. And what's interesting about what the Colts did when Luck was down this year is that they went out and got a running quarterback. And I know this is like sort of maybe people don't care about this, but I think getting a guy as your backup quarterback who isn't like your actual quarterback and going against the grain and sort of getting something that might be a little bit more flash in the pan, a little bit more lightning in a bottle in a running guy like Jacoby Brissett, who obviously is not the same type of dude as Andrew Luck, but like, first of all, nobody is. And like instead of going out and getting Tom Savage as your backup, having a guy like Jacoby Brissett who can at least make things happen and sort of keep you in the games. I mean, Jacoby Brissett had a really nice game this week. And
T.Y. Hilton torched Texans as he usually does.
Well, what you just said, I mean, I hate to get on the Kaepernick thing again, but like he's like a guy that sort of fits that mold that's out there right now, and I'm sure there are others as well. But like if you plugged in Kaepernick to this team right now and like maybe gave him, you know, 2 weeks or, you know, a bye whenever they have their bye if they haven't already, I mean that's at least an interesting team. You can like steal a game or two that way, I think, right?
On the Packers, you're saying?
Yeah.
100%. That game last night's a lot closer because just watching Hundley, they can't run anything like a normal offense. It's all dink and dunk, and then the Lions don't have a terrible defense. And you know, first of all, the Packers don't have any exceptional skill players. Jordan Nelson's fine, but he's a deep route guy. That's it. He's not run savvy routes like Larry Fitzgerald or something like that. So their team's just not very good. I think Kaepernick for the Texans, aside from their white owner, which is just my thing with people that old, you just kind of give it to them. Like, yeah, they should know, but when you're that old, is what it is. Kind of just ignore them, but that's the perfect fit. I mean, because him and Deshaun Watson have similar styles, and they have the talent around them. I mean, we saw them just rail Seattle on offense, and it's clear there. And Tom Savage is so bad, so bad. That under was a gift yesterday, or Sunday, I should say. That was a gift.
All right, let's move on. Cleveland at Detroit. I have the Lions by 12 at home, and I did this after the Monday night game.
Yeah, I did this before, and I definitely had a low. I had I think 9.5. Yeah, and that was definitely too low. I don't know why. I mean, I'm still not a big believer in the Lions. They really let me down against the Steelers. That's a game they should have won. They put up like 400 yards and mustered 15 points. But anyways, it's the Browns. That's all we need to talk about. I don't know. Move on. Although I will say one last thing, my own 16 bet at like plus 1400 is not looking terrible. I still got the Browns and the 49ers, so I'm feeling kind of confident.
All right.
Especially if the 49ers came out Jimmy Grabs.
All right. Well, what's the line?
Oh, it's 12. My bad. You got it right. I kind of just, I was like, oh, you must have got it. But yeah, it's 12, so that's a lot of points. Won't be watching, that's for sure.
If you're the Lions, you're 4-4 now. You have no Aaron Rodgers in your division. The Vikings are starting Case Keenum, and the Bears are starting a rookie quarterback who, I mean, the Bears are in tank mode. The Bears are basically in tank mode. You have a game this week against the Browns, and then you're playing Chicago. That's 6-4 right there.
At Chicago, that's not
okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Well, they get to play the Bears two more times, and they also have games against the Ravens and the Bengals and the Bucks.
So they do have an easy schedule.
Yeah, they have an extremely easy schedule. So Matt Stafford, a guy who got the biggest contract in NFL history. I mean, at this point for this season, under these circumstances, there's no excuse for them not to go on a run and win the division, right?
They should at least make the playoffs. I don't know about the division. The Vikings are still a very good team, and they got Teddy Bridgewater coming back. We'll see if he's capable of anything. I mean, yeah, but they're in a two-game hole, so that's, you know, kind of the problem. But they got to be a wild card team. It's them or, I guess, them and the Redskins, right, for the last wild card spot.
Or Dallas.
I think Dallas already has that next one, either the first wild card spot, right? Unless I'm missing someone, because I mean, so I guess Panthers, Redskins, Lions, Vikings, that's all the, I would say. But the Vikings are 6-2, so which people forget about. They got some tough games left. They're at the Redskins this week. They got to play at the Falcons, at the Panthers, and they get the Rams at home, so they're a lot better home team. They get the Bengals at home. So, I don't know. I think it will come very close to the last game of the season, but the Lions better. If the Lions are in the playoffs, it's definitely a pretty shitty performance by their whole team, especially Stafford.
Okay. All right. Cincinnati at Tennessee. I have the Titans favored by 6.
Yep, I had 6 as well, but it's actually 4, which is interesting. I guess Cincinnati is a decent defense, but I don't know if I ever discussed this on the pod. Something I've been noticing, Cincinnati is an incredibly terrible second-half team when it comes to scoring. In the majority of their games, they score, like, they've come out strong in the first half, and I don't know if it's a short playbook, but they don't do anything ever in the second half, except for against the Colts, but does that really count when you're at home against the Colts? But, you know, another goose egg against the Jags, they're not a good team. AJ Green, I feel bad for him. If he wants to come to Buffalo, be my guest, but...
I do think this is a little bit low. I mean, that's just saying that they're only 1-point difference. I don't know if I buy that.
It's, you know... The Titans haven't done anything since they crushed the Jags, and the Seahawks really blow me away, but I think they're getting a little disrespected here. They really beat the Ravens by more than 3 last week. It was a 10-point game with very little time left, and then Flacco just had a garbage time TD, so that's something to think about, but I would have to sign the Titans here too. So they're basically equating the Bengals even with the Ravens, I guess, which kind of makes sense, but I don't know. Fishy line, I would say.
A little fishy. Where do you think the money's going to be?
I can't imagine the public betting on Andy Dalton on the road, so I guess Titans.
Well, it's right down the middle. I mean, just from the early stuff from what I'm seeing, and again, this is on a Wednesday, so a lot of the bets that get made happens later in the week, but it's 55-45. It's pretty close right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it's 55-45, but it looks like it's actually jumped a half a point to 4.5, which makes sense.
Right, okay.
So
we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah, that's a one to keep an eye on. So it seems like a teasable game, maybe 4-3, you know, 4-+3. That's an interesting one. Although another great week for teasers, by the way. You had, yours was a parlay, but that was 2 weeks ago. But, you know, if you could tease, you had 7-point teaser with the Eagles, Rams, and Saints. That was easy money by the first quarter.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of teasable games or possible teasable games, Pittsburgh at Indianapolis.
Yeah, I was really low on this one. I don't know why. I had 6.
Oh, I had 8.
Yeah, it's 10. I don't know what I was thinking. Like I said, I was off on a couple of them, and we'll go over those pretty soon. But yeah, I don't know. Steelers on the road, we know they're not great, but it's the Colts. Colts coming off a big win. Pagano's not a great coach, so you'd think they'd lay down right here and, you know, kind of counteract everything, the big win they just built off of against Tom Savage. But still, everyone's going to be all over the Steelers, and I'm not taking them against the spread. It is a teasable game, but that spread, there's no way you can. I'm not taking 10 points on the road.
Yeah, if I'm bet, I mean, the Colts are interesting here. I mean, that's essentially if they can get to 14.
It's low total too, 44 for 10 points. That's, and everyone's on the Steelers, so like it's probably gonna be 10.5 by the game time. I'm surprised it sits at 10 because 10's like such like a, you know, a cornerstone number.
Right.
I'm surprised it's not at 10.5.
That's interesting, and just, again, we're taping this on a Wednesday, so really early in terms of where the money and where the bets are, but 93% of the early bets on the Steelers, as you probably would expect.
So. Steelers are always a big public team, too, even with them banged up Ben Roethlisberger. They are coming off a bye, so they should be healthier. They didn't really have a great performance at the Lions, but the Lions are on a different level with the Colts. So, but yeah, 10, like I said, 10's too much, and I'm sure it sounds like you agree, so staying away from that one for sure.
All right, New York Jets at Tampa Bay Bucks. No Jameis. So this is interesting. So I subscribe to the Action Network newsletter every day. Are you familiar with the Action Network?
I believe I follow them on Twitter, but I haven't been following their stuff too much.
Right. So it's Chad Millman recently left ESPN. joined into the Action Network, and he sends out this newsletter every day about he partners with Sports Labs and a couple of other like really high level.
I like that Sports Labs right. account.
Yeah, and Sports Labs, and I think Fantasy Labs is in there too. So they do a lot of high level stuff, and I get his newsletter every week. And he said that in this story that they wrote for the beginning of the season, the NFL, they said which guys were worth the most amount of points. And which quarterbacks were worth the most amount of points. And they did a breakdown of all 32 quarterbacks. And at the time, Jameis was worth anywhere between 3 to 4 points. So, and that's about the middle of the pack in terms of the other quarterbacks in the league. So sort of do that with what you will for the information-wise. But, I mean, I'm already not the biggest Jameis fan anyway. So I probably was thinking he was going to be worth 3 points to me regardless. But I have this even right down the middle. I have Tampa Bay by 3 at home.
I had Bucks by 1.5. It's actually opened at a pick 'em, and it's actually all the way up to Jets minus 2.5. I honestly, give me the Bucks at home here. I think this is a classic game where they just somehow win. I mean, it's also the Jets, so let's the fact that Jets are getting 2.5 points on the road, you got to be insane to take them. Give me the Bucks money line. Yeah, Fitzpatrick revenge game. I don't think they're that – like, I think Jameis is better than Fitzpatrick, but I don't think he's that much worse. And I think this is a game – kind of the NFL game where – the team, they're terrible, but they scrap it together and somehow pull out a win against a team that's also not good, off a big win themselves. So,
all right, worth noting, no Mike Evans this week. I don't know how many points Mike Evans is worth, but the
probably
combination.
One and a half.
The combination of him and Jameis is probably a little more
cyclical. I think with Mike Evans being out, that's a big public name, so I think it also sways it a lot towards the Jets' favor. But it really comes down to if you're watching the games, they're not really hitting Mike Evans that much anyways. So with Fitzpatrick, they'll try to run the ball, and the Jets' defense is pretty stout. But I like the Bucks here. It just seems like a classic NFL win. A home dog, too. Tough to pass up on a home dog with a team that I would say has more talent, but obviously they have not been able to execute.
Okay, Minnesota at Washington. I have this as a pick.
Yeah, I actually had Redskins minus 2.5 because I think they're pretty even teams, really, but when the Redskins are healthy, so that I probably overvalued them here. But actually, the Redskins opened as 2-point dogs, but it's already swung down to – they're now down to 1-point dogs. So, I mean, the Redskins are coming off a big win, but they're still unhealthy. But like I've said, the Vikings are a much different team on the road. So this is an interesting line and someone that I'll probably enjoy watching, but I don't know if I really want to bet on this at all.
Yeah, this seems like a stay away to me. And I don't really have any – great analysis on this, but this seems like a stay away.
Yeah, well, you have to keep track of how the Redskins offensive line looks because we're really banged up still last week. I don't know how they really pulled that one off. Props to them. I mean, they almost lost, but that great catch by Dotson. I will say, as far as Dotson goes, Xavier Rhodes has been phenomenal. It's shutting down number one of our receivers, so don't expect anything about out of Josh Dotson this week. I won't be playing him in fantasy. This game will be fun, you know, interesting to watch. You got Case Keenum still. Teddy Two Gloves is back, you know, the backup role. You know, we wonder how many more weeks before he's the starter. I'm going to guess he has a lot of work to do, but hopefully he can come back because he's definitely better than Keenum. Seems like a lot of people are on the Redskins early on, so this is some interesting game. Normally, you know, this screams home dog, but I'm actually a big Vikings, you know, believer this year. So, again, stay away from me, and sounds like for you as well.
Right. This next game is really interesting. L.A. Chargers at the Jags. Chargers coming off a bye. I have this at 6. Am I too high?
I believe so. I had a 3.5. It actually opened at 4. I think the Chargers are not as bad as – I think they're a solid team. They're not a great team, but the Jags' defense is still fantastic. But the Chargers' D has actually been pretty surprising. It's a pretty low total at 41.5. But, yeah, it's still sitting at 4. Chargers, I would probably side with, but the Jags' D has been fantastic. Seems like they've been at home for a while.
Right. Yeah, they are coming off a bye. And one thing I did want to say about – oh, we're not on the Rams game yet. My bad. I was saving this note for the Rams game. All right, so yeah, I'll hold on to that. You got anything else on this Chargers-Jags game?
Nothing I can think of. I think a couple of D-linemen on the Jags may be banged up, but I don't know how serious it is. I remember watching a couple of them go down. And I don't think Jalen Ramsey is getting suspended, so they'll have him. But the Jags aren't a fantastic run defense, and Melvin Gordon has been running pretty well this year, so that's something to keep an eye on as far as for fantasy purposes or just in general. Chargers might be able to control the ball even against that Jags phenomenal defense if they game plan the right way, so that's something to think about.
All right, now Houston at the LA Rams. I have the Rams by 9.
I had an 8, and it's actually 10, which seems a bit large. I understand they looked terrible last week, but again, 10 points on another, like the Steelers, 10 points on the road is just so many points for a road game.
All right, here's the note I had on the Rams, and this is sort of piggybacks on to the Jags game that we had. So I saw this other number, that 52% of the public last week was on the Jags, and 62% last week were on the Rams. So it seems like finally Joe Public has worked the Jags and the Rams into their public domain, and they're no longer some of these easy wise guy money plays that have been corrupting the casinos. They've officially gone into the ether. They're here, and now people are recognizing it. So I don't know. What does that say to you? Does that say we start fading? What does that say to you? Or does it say anything at all?
I mean, I would side Chargers, and as far as the Rams, I'm probably not betting on this game, but 10 points on the road is a lot. Oh, no, they're at home.
Yeah, L.A. at home.
Oh, shit. Oh, my bad. I don't know. I wrote this down wrong. Okay, they're at home. That's still a lot of points, but that gives me a lot more confidence. Oh, it's up to 11.5. That's just such a big number. I mean, whoever thought the Rams would this year would be favored by double digits? Whew. Yeah, I guess we got to find new teams that people don't like, which I guess would be, looks like the Vikings. Everyone's already hopped off the Bills bandwagon, and everyone hates the Bucks.
Maybe the Jets, dude. Maybe the Jets.
The Jets seem like the public's favorite this week.
Yeah, well, they will be. They will be now. That was just a little interesting, though.
You know, times have changed. We've watched football, decade. Been at least these teams just being doormats, and it's weird to see them actually winning games. Yeah. We'll see if both make the playoffs. Blake Bortles in the playoffs is pretty comical, but we'll see how that goes. We got some time for that, though.
Dallas at Atlanta. I have this game as a pick.
Yeah, I had this game as the Cowboys is 1.5 point underdog, the Falcons is 1.5 point underdogs. It actually opened as Falcons -3, which seems very odd. But it seems so odd, and the fact that everyone's on the Cowboys and the Falcons are sliding, I think this is the Falcons. Like, I think this is, you got to go Falcons here.
I don't know. I mean,
it's just such a weird line, and everyone's going to be all over the Cowboys, and it's not going to move. That's the only thing I'd say. I think the Falcons are better than they played. They probably should have won last week. They had some bad bounces. Julio had that drop. And the Panthers aren't terrible, too. That was a nice win by them. But it's an interesting one. And it's one of those fishy lines. And like, 9 times out of 10, if the line's fishy, you kind of either let it go or you bet that side. So
what I'll say about this is that, first of all, the over-under is 50.5, which is a lot of points, especially for a team who likes to run the ball as much as Dallas does. Second of all, getting the, in my opinion, I don't know about you, the better team in Dallas and points sounds good. I mean, that's just like sort of a rule of thumb. That's like that's.
But they are on the road, so
they are on the road.
Falcons are a better home team. I mean, last time they were home, I believe they lost to the Dolphins, but that was a fluky game. I mean, they were up 20-0 or something like that. So something to think about. It just seems like such a weird line that I don't think I can muster up taking Cowboys.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's where the public will be, is on Dallas.
And the other thing is that they got the Eagles the following week, right? So it's kind of like a look-ahead game. I mean, the Falcons aren't slouches, but that Eagles game is going to be huge. Is that Thanksgiving?
The Eagles game next week? No.
We got another week. No. Damn it. That would have been a great Thanksgiving game.
No, and we'll see what happens with Elliott. I mean, we're not really sure who – I mean, who – at this point, I don't even care. But
yeah, I don't care. And like we've said before, I don't think it really matters.
No.
So.
And the Eagles for that game, you mentioned, just to say, Eagles coming off a bye. They're not on this week, so that'll be interesting to see.
Is it at Dallas or at Philly? I forget.
I don't know.
It's got to be at Dallas, because I feel like Philly's been at home for like 3 straight weeks or 4. I don't know. It's not
a
big deal.
It's in Dallas. In Dallas.
Okay, that's what I figured. Sure. Yeah, because Philly's been home for a while. So that's something – I mean, not like Dallas has a great home field, but – all right, what else we got? Oh, boy.
All right, the next game, I mean, just the absolute toilet bowl of the week. Giants at San Francisco. It feels weird to me to have a defeated team as a favorite, but I have them meaning San Francisco, as 2.5-point favorites at home.
Whew. I think it was 1.5-point dogs that actually opened at Pick'em, so I think I get that one. Yeah, no, yeah, I do.
You do, I mean, but like, in a way, we're all losers.
I mean, I'm not watching this game. I guess I'd go Giants in there, but I mean, this. I think CJ Beathard's playing again, but why the hell would you put any money in the Giants the way they've looked?
Right.
No, thanks. Let's just move on. This game sucks.
Yeah, we're all
no
losers.
No Garoppolo, not interested.
We're all losers for just even having to see this game on the schedule. New England at Denver. This was sort of a weird line to make up. So the Patriots coming off a bye. I thought to myself, all right, what would New England be at home for this game? How much would they be favored by? And the number I arrived at was 13. So I brought this down to 7. I had New England by 7 on the road. What do you got?
I find it questionable that you only had them by 7. I had them by 10, and it's 7. I find that very questionable by you.
I didn't cheat. I did not cheat. So you're telling me New England would be 16-point favorites at home? 16.
Probably 15.5, 14.5. The Broncos look awful. Although I will say this, I guess a lot higher line and the line's lower and everyone's still going to be on the Patriots. I mean, Brock Osweiler, but historically the last Patriots don't play well in Mile High. And I think Brock's due, baby. I think this is it. He owns the Patriots. I think he's going to get a big win over the Pats on Sunday. A little money line action, wet the beak on the money line, 8:30 PM kickoff. I'm feeling it. Maybe some snow to throw off Tom, get him really complaining and crying and whiny. I'm feeling it. For some reason, Tom.
It'll be interesting. I mean, I assume after the Eagles just dismantled the
Broncos last week. Yeah, Joe Paul's going to be all over the Patriots.
I'm sure. All right, I got nothing else in this game. All right, last game of the week. And I'm ahead of you by one, so you need this for a push.
I guarantee I lost this one.
Miami at Carolina, the Monday night game. Panthers by 4 at home.
Oh, wow. Somehow I won. You're going to be really surprised by this. It's a point total of 39.5, and the Panthers are favored by 9.
What?
What? I mean, the Dolphins aren't great, but 9 points?
What did you guess?
4.5.
All right, somehow. I mean, congratulations to you on that.
But I mean, I guess we probably both should have been higher to at least like 6.5, just thinking like, because at Dolphins, I think the Panthers are favorites anyways. So, but I guess if you think about last week, the Ravens were 3 point, or the Raiders were 3 point favorites at the Dolphins. So I guess it makes sense. It seems, for a Panthers team that struggled heavily, it just seems pretty high.
It seems like a lot of points. That's not one of the games that I would feel comfortable teasing at all.
No.
Do not putting Cam in a tease.
No. He's too inconsistent. They come off a big win against the Falcons. Definitely tease will not be including Cameron and the Panthers in his shitty outfit.
Oof. Well, that's it. That's all we got. So you wanna run through some picks quick?
I think so. I mean, we're off on a lot of lines, so I think we should be able to clearly identify which ones we want. We got a couple extra games this week, which is nice. Did you go positive last week?
I think I split.
Yep, same here. I should have had that Ravens pick, but what are you going to do? Yeah. All right, let's do this.
We've been really in sync. We like the same teams. We like the same spots.
Yeah, dude, and Joe Public's been fucking cranking. It's been bullshit. I've luckily come out even still on NFL the last 2 weeks, but we're due for a big week.
Yeah, because we're taking the sharp guy. We're taking the casino side. We're not Joe Publican, so it'll come back around. All right, picks. What do you got, bud?
All right, so I got 4 of them again this week. Just going to keep it consistent. 2 home dogs, all 4 are home teams, so big faith in the home field advantage. I got Bills +2.5. They're also going to win outright, but I'll take those points. Bucks +2.5, also going to win outright. I'll take the points. I would probably consider taking the buy up to 3 as well. Depends on when the money is probably going to go away from them both, so you might even not have to buy a point, half point in either of those scenarios. Give me the Falcons -2.5. I get home against the Cowboys. This line just is very fishy, so I'm going to take it because it doesn't make any sense to me. So obviously you go against what makes sense and take the weird line. And lastly, I'm going to go back to the well with the Titans. They let me down last week, but I'm not a big the Bengals looked terrible last week. Dolphins looks bad. Their line's not good. Their coach sucks, and they're in dismay. I heard there's some McCarron murmurs, but now he doesn't want to play, so they're not even going to have a backup. Those are my 4 picks. What you got?
When AJ McCarron doesn't want to play, that's when you know you might have problems.
If I were him, I would rather be sitting at home.
Collecting the checks either way. All right, going head-to-head.
I'm talking about his wife. Or is it
That's a good one. All right, we're going head-to-head on your Bills. We said last week we're going to start fading the Bills. Let's fade the Bills. I'm fading the Bills. Take New Orleans.
You're going to regret it.
And then we're on the same team for this one. Tampa Bay, too easy, at home. I don't even think Jameis is that good. Ryan Fitzpatrick, obviously a downgrade. I'm not sure he's a 4-point downgrade. I think he might be closer to a 2-point downgrade at this point. Mike Evans, like you said, great point. Him not playing is probably bigger for Joe Public than necessarily for Vegas. So that'll tend to sway the line a little bit. And then my last one, Miami, going back to the well and the
before
Dolphins.
Before you go into that, and let's just point out the Jets are favorites on the road. Let's not get too sweet and cute about this.
Right.
You don't take the Jets as favorites on the road. That's insanity.
Right. And if you said that at the beginning of the season, I mean, that would have been absolute pandemonium. So
yep.
Go with what you know, because you don't know a lot in this game, but go with what you know. And then my last
or
one.
Or anything, really.
Right. Last one I had was Miami. I mean, we were both way off on that line, so. That's fucking why we do this. We do this to see, because we know about where teams rank, where teams are at this point in the season, and then to guess. And if you're way off on something, usually that tells you something's fishy. Something stinks.
Yep. Hey, good for you for being ballsy enough to put him in the picks. Like I said, I'll be betting on that side, but I didn't have the balls to put in my picks. So good for you.
All right, bud. That was another killer episode. Anything else on your mind that you gotta get off your chest?
Well, as the great Ryan Howard once said, respect the troops on both sides. So just Knicks fans need to calm down. Like, after you got angry, the winds have reined you in, and now we're just trust the process. Keep that tank going. We don't need to keep winning these games. But Kristaps has looked amazing. Let's hope for a better slate of games this week, and that's all I got for you.
All right, I just got to say something real quick. First of all, it still bugs me that Hernan Gomez is getting DMPs. That has not changed. However,
what?
I will say, when you just said in the immortal words of Ryan Howard, I actually thought that you were going to hit me with an eat fresh. I really thought you were going to hit me with an eat fresh.
The other Ryan Howard.
Yes. So I'm a little disappointed in you. As an office fanatic, I'm a little disappointed.
Well, I could have gone. Actually, when I first said I was singing that, but you know, figured the respect the troops made more sense with what we discussed earlier.
Right. And it was so funny right at the end of that meeting between Jim. Who else was in the meeting? Jim Ryan Howard and Craig Ferguson, whoever he plays in the show, Daryl. And
Daryl.
He's like, oh, by the way, we're going to need to get the rights to Darth Vader. We can get that, right?
We'll look into it. Right. Speaking of hit comedy series, I heard there are little murmurs about a podcast coming up. Is that true?
About a comedy series?
No, a little podcast discussing a comedy series.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Well, maybe Hyman? Huh? No?
Nothing. Oh, right. Yeah. I think we broke this last week, right?
Well, we discussed it, but now I think it's officially in motion.
Right. It's in motion. I'm not sure what day it's going to come out, but we have a podcast coming up for the eulogy of one of our favorite shows, How I Met Your Mother. So it's leaving Netflix, as you pointed out last week.
And yep. What's today, the 7th?
Today is the 7th, a Tuesday.
Okay. So it leaves on the 13th, which I didn't really know they actually remove shows. There's always those rumors like, they're, you know, removing it from Netflix, but none of the shows I care about they actually remove from, but I guess it's here. But we got some time to watch our favorite episodes come in. We'll discuss some favorite moments, some overrated, underrated, favorite characters, least favorite, cough, Lily. But
how dare you?
But yeah, that'll be fun. It'll be fun to talk about something. And if we tape it on Sunday or Monday, we can be post-mortem of all our gambling winnings. It's going to feel great.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So that's it. That was
College basketball starting up soon. Watch out for those dirty Terps. Unfortunately for Q, I was texting one of my buddies. It's going to be a rough year for Qs, and a lot of people that haven't been paying attention are going to be very disappointed when the teams, it's just, they don't have enough talent. Losing Taurean Thompson is going to be rough. They lost their second best player, and now all they really have is Tyus Bowden, some freshmen, and they'll still have some moments, but Qs fans don't handle the losing so well. It's a cold, brutal winter. It's going to be not one of the better years for Qs basketball, so I'm inviting everyone that's anyone, feel free to come on over to the Maryland Terrapins bandwagon and local Shenandoah New York State product Kevin Huerter and come ride the wave.
That's just the wave.
Although I will say Mark Turgeon's not a great coach, so it's not all roses, but it'll be, you know, you're all invited. Also, after breaking news, after spending a weekend at Virginia Tech, I'm also a Virginia Tech alum now, so if you guys need any insight on them,
honorary,
I'm good to go.
Honorary alumni.
No, not honorary. I have a diploma.
Oh, it's not one of those fake doctorates that they give, like Obama or somebody who comes in.
No, I just took a test and got 100, so they just gave me the degree. It was pretty crazy. You had to be there.
Wow, it's a low bar there at Virginia Tech.
No, it's a high bar. I'm just, you know, just such a savant. They're like, oh, you're a gambling genius? Here's a degree in biomechanical engineering. It was pretty nuts. I wasn't even ready for it, but guys, take roll with the punches, right?
Seems like one of those stories where you just had to be there.
Yeah, you wouldn't understand. Actually, no one was there except for me, so I don't know how I'm gonna be, you know, no one's gonna be able to believe me, but it happened. So all right, this is too much rambling.
Yeah, I know.
And all right, we'll be back next week. Hopefully a good week for us, which means a bad week for Joe Public. See you next week.
All right, bud, I'll talk to you.